Start up next week. So this morning we want to turn to the word of the Lord. So Keith said, turn off your phones. So if you...
Social media.
Oh, social media. Thank you. You know that caused problems in Nepal,
yes.
Right? Okay. But in all reality, please do keep praying for Nepal and what's going on there. So we trust, is it beginning to settle a little bit? It's beginning to settle a little bit. But we do keep praying. You have many brothers and sisters in the Lord you have not yet met in Nepal, and you will meet them one day in heaven. Please pray for God's hand upon them for peace, that he will silence the false accusations against Christians who are not part of any of the chaos that's going on, and yet there are accusations against them. So we do keep praying. And as Anil shares with what's going on in Nepal, we will continue to include it in the prayer as well. So, amen. So this morning, so if you want to turn on your Bibles, or if you've got paper Bibles, that's okay. Either way, we're going to continue with our series this morning, This is War. And I want to just jump right in. I have gotten feedback from last week. You had a good service last week with the very, very American pastor, right? He's more American than I am, right? But it was such a blessing. The Lord provided a blessing for us here at Lighthouse, especially when I was in the U.S. with Mom. Just quickly, we praise the Lord for what God is doing with Mom and in Mom's body.
Amen.
Amen. That's right, we do. We praise the Lord. We praise the Lord. There are some new things that they found in the lungs, but we do not accept what doctors say. We do not accept what the devil says. We will believe the report of the Lord. Amen? Amen. So we keep praying for that, and we keep praying. God now has to, in his timing, he has to open a place for Mom to live, right? And it's supposed to be downstairs below me. So you pray, God, open the door, right?
So tell us, Pastor Jennifer, what the doctor said about the area of the...
So the doctor, they first found some nodules in the lower part that were really small. And then they have found some more that are bigger, 9 millimeters in the upper part. So once it's beyond 8 millimeters, they're more concerned. And when it's in the upper part of the lungs, they're more concerned. So this is what medicine says about that. But we continue to pray. We believe with all of our hearts God's plan is for her to be here in Hong Kong. And as you're praying for Mom, I'm praying for your difficult situations as well. We look to the Lord. If you are a child of God, Psalm 139 says that before one of your days came to be, God knew them all. He knew them all. And so in God's hands, your life, our lives, Mom's life will be all that God intends. The Bible says that even in their old age, do any of you feel a little bit older now?
Yeah.
Well, I'm so glad. I was feeling a little bit older after that second 30-hour trip across the ocean in the space of a week. But the Bible says, even in their old age, they shall bear fruit.
Praise God.
Amen. And so she's going to be here, and she's going to bear fruit for the Lord. So amen. So we pray for she has her dependent visa. Praise the Lord. God's working out her health. Praise the Lord. She got to have a place to live. Praise the Lord. So that's what we're looking for. Amen. So this is war. All of us are in war. And I want to be careful. I know that many of us have people, situations, and circumstances that are as heavy on our hearts that we're praying for as much as I'm praying for Mom, and some of you are praying as well. And God cares for each one of us equally. And God has a plan and a purpose for each one of us equally. And so I want you to know that even as I am praying in faith and fighting in faith for things that personally concern me, I am praying for you also with the same faith. With the same faith. Because he's the same God. Amen? He's the same God. Amen. So if you're a child of God, you are in war. It may not always feel like that. We've talked about this before, but you are. There are times when it feels like things are going well. There are other times that don't feel like things are going well. But because we are God's child, we are also the target of the enemy's hatred. And so we are in war. But God gives us weapons. God's presence is with us, and he gives us in his word all we need, and his power is available to us for all that we go through, for all that we face. There is not one of us this morning that does not have available to us, if we will reach out and take, not one of us that does not have the resources that the Lord provides. 2 Peter chapter 1. Okay, Peter writes, God has given us all we need for life and godliness. All we need for life and godliness. For me, I think, so what I need and what you need as we go through these things, yes, there is growing in God and growing in faith, but I also think of it this way, because Christ is in me, Christ is in you. We have all things in Christ. And I have a spiritual bank account. Yeah? Think of it that way. A spiritual deposit. And it is there for me and for you. But it is up to me to reach and appropriate and to take from that spiritual bank account what is needed for the situation that I face. He has given all you need for life and godliness, whatever you're facing this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So when we ended 2 weeks ago, we had talked about, we had started, and then we had gotten to this verse. We'd started with how we first see the enemy. So be aware of your adversary. What is he like? In the first two pictures we see of the enemy, just as God reveals himself as a God of love, a God who comes into darkness and brings light, a God where there is chaos, the Holy Spirit brooded over the waters, right? And he brought out, let there be light. And then God gave life and God gave purpose, right? That's what God does. God gives purpose. He created Adam and Eve, and then he gave them purpose. Brothers and sisters, God gives you purpose. I don't care what your age is, if you're younger or you're older, God has purpose for you because that's who he is and that's how he has made you. So in the same way that God revealed himself, God chose in Genesis chapter 3 and 4 to let us see what the enemy is like also. Now, God designed that, right? The enemy is who he is, but God wanted his people to know, here's what the enemy is like. First picture we see is of a serpent, right? And he comes in. Does he overpower Eve? No. He deceives Eve, right? He deceives Eve. The enemy does not have the power to come into your life against your will and make you do something. He won't even get into that. Anyhow, he does not have that power. Why? God does not allow that power. We have free will. And so how does he come? He comes to Eve. Did God say? And he begins to question God. First, he questions God's word. Next week, we're going to talk about God's word, which is one of the most powerful spiritual weapons that God gives us. This is why you got to take the word of God into your heart and into your life and meditate on it, right? Meditate on it. That's part of it. And today, we're going to talk about one of the other really powerful weapons, which is praise. But so first, he questions God's word, and then what does he do? He questions God. Oh, he accuses God, right? That's his name. He's an accuser. And so, oh, God knows that if you this. Now, the devil hasn't changed, has he? He still acts like this. So the first picture is of a serpent bringing deception. The second picture, we see like a beast, if you will. That's in Genesis 4. When Cain is angry at Abel, and God warns him. I want us to see something later. We're going to come back to this, but if you if you struggle with anger, okay? This is not our main thing this morning, but it's really been on my heart, and I've been thinking about it. If you struggle with anger, outbursts and things like that, I want you to see something from Genesis 4. God says to Cain, if you do what is right, you'll be accepted. But sin is crouching at the door, and it desires to have you. But you must master it. We must understand something. God will not step in the same way that the devil cannot come in and do something against your will. Neither will God. What does God say to Cain? God says to Cain, he gives him a warning, and then he says, sin is there, and then he says, you must master it. So if you struggle with anger, with outbursts of anger, please don't ever say, well, that's just the way I am. Please never say, well, our family's like that. That's just the way I am. Don't believe that lie from the enemy. Don't believe that lie. Look at what God says to Cain. God says the same thing to us, right? In Ephesians 4, what does God say? Well, look at this more. Paul writes, in your anger, so he understands, sometimes emotions rise. Don't sin. And don't let the sun go down on your anger. And don't give the enemy a foothold, an opportunity. If we allow anger to remain in our hearts and in our lives, we give the enemy an opportunity. We've talked about this before. The enemy is an opportunist, right? He's looking. Where's the chance? And so God says, you don't do this. And he warns us that we might not become prey to the enemy. Amen? As that's a whole short sermon right there, okay? But we want to get on to praise this morning. So we saw these two pictures, a serpent and a wild beast, very much like a lion, if you will. And later on, the enemy is described in 1 Peter 5. He's going around like a roaring lion. And then we ended with this beautiful verse out of Psalm 91, which is one of the great psalms. In the Old Testament, he that dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide, will rest under the shadow of the Almighty. If you are struggling with things, go to Psalm 91. Take Psalm 91 into your heart. Memorize Psalm 91. Pray it aloud. Speak it aloud. Call on God in this. And you come to verse 13, and the promise of God is you will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the young lion and the serpent. There were lions in those days in the Middle East, in that area. There were serpents. Those were real physical dangers. But can it be that that is exactly what the psalmist is talking about? No. He has to be talking about a spiritual thing, because how are you going to step on a lion? See, right? Like I said, I'd like to see that video, right? It would go viral for sure, as we said. This is a spiritual reality. It's a spiritual reality. God's promise to you, you will tread. You will tread. That word tread, you're getting all my back notes now. It's not, Janice, I'm so sorry. These are not even in my notes. Janice is doing so well back there translating. That word tread is the same word that's used when God says to the children of Israel, every place your foot shall tread, I will give it to you. I will give it to you. It's the same word. It's the same word. It's a very special word. It doesn't just mean where you walk. It has to do with taking over. It has to do with conquering. It has to do with claiming. And God says to you, you will. You will. You're going to tread on the lion. Is the enemy attacking you? God gives you tools to tread on the lion and to tread on the serpent. Amen? Amen? If you feel this morning that you're really under it and you're really, he's winning and you're losing, let's look at some things that God gives us this morning. So this is what we looked at here, four very simple things. So I just want to remind you again, know your God, recognize how the enemy operates, know the spiritual weapons God gives you to fight. We've been looking at that, and then use them, use them. It's not enough that we know it here. We've got to take them up and use them. Okay, so let's get into these mighty spiritual weapons. We've read this before, 2 Corinthians 10:4. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. They're not things that we do in our physical strength. I was coming in this morning, I was praying for us, and I was putting into practice what I'm talking about this morning, because it was night and day in the U.S., and then I got sick, and then it was 30 hours back, and then my computer fell apart. Thank you, Nomer. Nomer's fixing it. And then. And I said, Lord, I thank you that even though I am weak, you are strong. Amen. It's not weapons of this world. The weapons of this world say, I've got to be strong. I've got to be pumped up. My energy has to be high. My emotions have to be high, right? Those are the weapons of this world. I feel good today, and so I'm going to beat the enemy. I'm going to beat the devil. I feel victorious, and so I got him today. Those are the weapons of this world, brothers and sisters. Emotions go up and down and up and down. Now, with God's help, God can work on our emotions, but emotions are not how we fight the devil. Our feelings are not how we fight the devil. Our strength is not how we fight the devil. God says he gives us divinely powerful weapons to demolish strongholds. So they are divinely powerful. So these are weapons that come from God. Why do we have to have these weapons that come from God? For, verse 12, we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against all of these rulers, authorities, mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits. If I look at verse 12 and I don't take into account what God provides me, I'm done for. Verse 12 is scary, right? It can be. Verse 12 can be scary. Why? I can't beat the devil. I can't defeat the devil. I can't overcome. What if he throws all these temptations at me? I'm a goner. God gives us spiritual tools. How are we going to tread on the lion and the serpent? He's going to show us how. And so this morning we begin to talk about mighty spiritual weapons. And the first one we want to talk about is praise. So we've been talking about praise already, right, in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. But we're going to come back to it this morning, and we're just going to highlight praise as a mighty spiritual weapon. Are you ready?
Yes.
Thank you, Keith. Yes, and one other person here. Amen. Okay, so mighty spiritual weapons. I don't think you're going to see any verses or any situations that you're not familiar with this morning, okay? Nevertheless, let's look at them together. Ready? So here we go. Here's some verses for us as we get into these examples. Psalm 149, if you look at Psalm 149, it's a psalm of praise. Oh, we praise the Lord, we praise the Lord, we praise the Lord. And then you come to verse 6, and the psalmist writes, let the high praises of God. High praises means the exultant, it actually almost means the boastful praises of God. In other words, like our God, like we sang this morning as Chris led us. Our God is awesome, right? He's mighty. He's protector. He's this. He's this. So it has to do with this kind of an overwhelming, boastful, our God. And so the psalmist says, let the high praises of God be in their mouths. And what does he put with that? And a double-edged sword in their hands. I want you to see this morning as we look at praise, right? So here's this that's coming out of the mouth, and then also tied with it is a double-edged sword in their hands. You can't separate the two. The two go together. Next week, we're going to look at this again, because if you know your Bible, then you know some verses in the New Testament that talk about swords, right? the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, right? And also in Hebrews 4, the word of God, which is quick and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. But here we have these two images together. The praise of God, let it be in their mouths. This morning when we were worshiping the Lord, when we were praising the Lord, we were not just expressing feelings. Something was happening. We were honoring God as he deserves to be honored. But let me tell you what was happening as we had the high praises of God in our mouths. The devil was being defeated. Amen. The devil was being defeated. It's so strongly in my heart. I want to encourage you. As we worship the Lord on Sundays, we're doing praise and worship at the beginning of the service. It is not a filler. It's not a filler. It's not, oh, what we do because we like music. It's not, let's have some of this just before we get into the real part of the service, which is the word. This is part of our gathering as a family of God as we get together. The Bible's so clear about this. And as we praise the Lord, the devil is defeated. You may not see it. You may not feel it. There are things that we don't see in the spiritual realm, but the devil is being defeated as you praise the Lord. So often, as it was this morning, on Sunday mornings when I get up very early and I drive into church, I often start out kind of down on Sunday mornings. I've often had a very short night of sleep, right? I've usually gotten awakened by about 4 in the morning, and then I'm coming into church, and what I start doing, however strange people may think of me when they pass me on the highway, I start praising the Lord, high praises of the Lord in my mouth. God, I praise you. Lord, I thank you that it doesn't depend on me, but it depends on you. Lord, I thank you that as I wait upon you, you're going to renew my strength. Lord, I thank you. Over and over and over and over again until the enemy is defeated and the heavens are clear above me. This is one of the things that praise does. I urge you, when we gather together, the Old Testament uses a word for singing and a word for praise, and they are different, but they're also used together. But singing is also part of praise. Never, ever, ever get into the trap of just thinking, oh, I'm singing a song. Well, this is a nice song. This is warfare. This is praise. It's not just a, and I want to be careful, it's not just a tool. Like, now I'm going to praise because I want to defeat the devil. Instead, God, I'm going to praise you because you're worth it. And then the devil is also defeated, right? Yeah, we never want to manipulate these things of God, because God is worthy of all our praise. Amen. He's worthy of all our praise. Hallelujah. Now, look at Psalm 8:2. Through the praise of children and infants. By the way, Psalm 8:2 is the most quoted Old Testament scripture in the New Testament. Psalm 8:2. That's a reason. There's a reason for that. This is the psalm that Jesus used, but he changed it on the triumphal entry when he went in, right? But look with me at it very quickly as we get into these four examples. Psalm 8:2 says, through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. Does this mean literally little kids? Well, it can include that, and I love to see little kids praising the Lord and singing. It does me so much good. I just look at it, it's like, praise the Lord. But I think the meaning is much larger here. The writer says, through the praise of children and infants. Are children strong and mighty warriors? No. Are infants ready to do battle in their strength with all the wisdom? No. Here is what your God says to you. Feel like you're a baby Christian? God doesn't care. You feel like you're weak? God doesn't care. Do you feel like, well, I can't, I failed before, I can't? God doesn't care about that. What God says to you, however inadequate you feel, however imperfect I feel, God says to us, through the praise that comes from you, that comes from me, I have established a stronghold against the enemy. It will silence the foe and silence the avenger. Have you been hearing a lot of accusations in your mind? Have you been feeling extra guilty? Have you been feeling condemned? Have you been feeling like, oh, there's this, 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 and this, and you're just getting lower and lower and lower, and you think, well, it's true, I really am that way. Guess what God says to you? Lift up your voice and begin to praise the Lord and watch what happens. Those voices of accusation, which come from the accuser, they come from the accuser. He will be silenced. Those voices will be silenced. And if the voices, if you say, praise the Lord, you're lousy. I praise you, Lord, you love me. How can he love you? You keep praising until the voices are silent. Amen? You keep praising until they're silent. This is God's promise to every one of us. Not just to the mature Christians, but may I say, especially to those of us that feel like I'm not really that mature of a Christian. I'm not very strong. I'm kind of weak. This is God's promise to us. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay, let's look quickly. You know this one so well, and we've been talking about it. Paul and Silas, you already know it, right? What is this situation? Paul and Silas are in prison. They're in Philippi. All they've been doing is good. But through the power of the Lord, casts a demon out of a young demon-possessed slave girl. They're arrested. They're falsely accused. They're beaten. They're probably stripped of their clothes, and they're thrown into the inner dungeon, into the inner prison. And it's midnight, right? So we already know this, but let's look at what happens, because here we go. We're talking about praise. So let's look at it really quickly. About midnight, I find it interesting. When is it?
Midnight.
Midnight always seems like the darkest, right? It's the worst. Midnight. Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Okay, here we go. Like it or not, we're going to get it this morning. Okay. You know that there are a lot of different words that are used for prayer in the New Testament, right? There's several different words. This word here in this scripture is the word that includes prayer. It's the word that includes worship, okay? There are other words for prayer that mean petition or asking or request or things like that. This word includes the meaning worship. So here are Paul and Silas. It's midnight. It must be horrible where they are. They are doubtless in severe pain. They are hungry. I'm sure they're filthy, dirty because of the situation that is there. They're probably, because they're in stocks, they're probably still in great pain at that minute. And what do? They worship. They worship, right? They worship, and what do? And they sing hymns to God. And I love this because then it says, and the other prisoners were listening to them. You see, sometimes you and I think it's just about me. It's just my life. And God wants you to know other people are part of what you're going through, right? Other people are watching your life. Other people, you've testified to them. You've told them about the goodness of God. You've told them, I believe God and I trust God. And now you're in a pickle. And now you're in a tight spot, and they're watching you, and they're listening to you. What they said about God, do they really believe it? Do they really believe it? Here are Paul and Silas, and what do? They worship, and they're singing hymns. And the other prisoners were listening. We know what happens. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. All the prison doors flew open. Everyone's chains came loose. Your victory, your freedom, your deliverance, listen, can open doors for others. Your victory can bring victory into the lives of others. And the enemy will do all he can to keep that from happening. But when God works through you and God works for you, as you keep your eyes on him and as you praise him, he will bring deliverance to others. He will bring freedom to others. Amen? Amen. 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 And then we look at Philippians 4:6, which is the doctrine that goes with it, right? So this happened first. Hang on. So this happened first. And then later, Paul wrote this, right? And he wrote it to the very people who were part of the story. They were part of the story. And there it is. We see it there, and I've already, we talked about this so much, so I don't want to take a lot of time about it. But here's the pattern. Honestly, if you don't memorize any other, and if you don't put into practice any other passage, memorize this one and put this one into practice. It'll get you a long way down the road. Amen? So by prayer, that's the same word again, worship and petition. That is the asking God with thanksgiving. Oh, God, so this is who God is, thanksgiving. God, you've done this. God, you've done this. We're going to look at that more in just a minute. Present your request to God, and God answers. So we see that with Paul and Silas. Let's look at the next one. I'm going fast. I want to get all the way. I want to get all four this morning. Amen. You know all of these really well. So we know this is Joshua and Jericho, right? So we know this one as well. Look with me very quickly. Do you ever find the Bible funny or humorous? If you don't, I invite you to go back and read again, because the humor that you enjoy, the funny bone that you have, God made you with that, right? God made you. God's so great, okay? But here, look at this. The gates of Jericho, they haven't conquered anything yet. They've crossed the Jordan River. So the gates of Jericho were strongly fortified because of the Israelites. Nobody's going in and out. Then you get to verse 2, and this is where I think it's funny. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. I kind of laughed yesterday as I was preparing my notes, because I thought, if I were Joshua, I'd look and I'd say, huh? But can you imagine? We don't know how God spoke to Joshua, except that the captain of the host of heaven's armies did appear to him before. So in whatever way, I can imagine God saying to Jericho, see, the city's yours, and here's this huge city with high walls, everything completely shut up, and God says, here, see, I've given it to you, because the circumstances and the situation do not show victory. The circumstances and the situation do not show God's answer yet, but God says, I've given you the city. So brothers and sisters, here's something for us as we look at this. When you are in situations that are really difficult, we have the Word of God, the written Word of God, right? We have the written Word of God, and our faith rests on the Word of God, the unshakable Word of God, and we take the Word of God into our lives. We must do that, and as we take in, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word, right? Hearing by the Word. So our faith begins to grow, but God also does more than that. And there are times in your life where you can and should look to God and ask God, God, what are you saying to me specifically at this time? God, what is your word to me? What are you saying to me? Now, don't just run to the Bible and go, boo, here, I've got something like that. God's word makes us strong and builds faith in our lives, but God can speak a word to you. It may come through the Holy Spirit as you're reading his word. It may come from someone else. Some of you know that there are times when I will send a message or I'll call one of you and say, I think you should know this, and I'll say it. And at times you'll say, that's from the Lord. That's what I needed to hear. But it doesn't have to come through me. It can come through a song that we're singing on Sunday morning. It can come in many other ways. But there are times in your life when you need to hear a word from God, because everything else around you points in the other direction. The city was totally filled, was totally bound up. The walls were high, not a crack in the walls. And in that impossible situation, God said to Joshua, "Look, I have given you the city." There was nothing in his eyes that showed the answer that was coming from God. What did Joshua have? He had the word of God. He had the word of God. And there are times when everything around you points to the opposite. You need to hear the word of God to your situation, to your life, to what you're going through. And when you hear the word of God, when the devil comes at you and when he attacks you, that's when you can say, "Yes, but God, you said," and you stand on the word of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Truly. Amen. So I go a little bit further. We know the story, so I'm going through it really quickly. God gives them the battle plan. And the battle plan is so unusual. This goes back to these weapons of they're mighty spiritual weapons. It's not a weapon that we would have thought up. It's not a weapon that we would use. But they were to march around the city silently, not saying a word, probably because their mouths had gotten them in trouble the first time when they came across, right? And they were saying all sorts of horrible things, and everybody, their hearts melted for fear. And so God basically says, "Keep quiet. Don't say anything. And the trumpets are blowing until the seventh day. The seventh time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city." This word "shout" means triumph. It is a war cry. It's also a shout of praise and honor to God. It's all of those things, that word "shout." So it's not just, please don't just say, "Oh, well, it's just the soldiers, and they said, ah," like that. It includes that, but that's not all. It includes all of these things as well. It's a shout of praise. Notice that the praise comes before the walls fall. The praise comes. If you are waiting for God to change your circumstances and your situation before you can feel like praising him, you will likely stay where you are with no change in circumstances, because God has ordained praise as part of our victory, praise as part of the warfare, praise as one of the mighty weapons that we hold up. And that's why for me, throughout all of this with mom and all of the negative things, I have just had to, "Lord, I praise you. God, you're a good God. Lord," and everything that I believe God has spoken, I praise God. I praise God for that. And then we see, when the trumpet sounded, the army shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. They went in, and they took the city. Praise came first. Praise did not come before warfare. Praise was part of the warfare. Amen? This is one of the mighty weapons, one of the mighty weapons of God. Next. Have you put your seatbelts on, because we're moving so fast this morning? Next one, Jehoshaphat and Judah. We know this very well already, don't we? We know all of these so well. Jehoshaphat and Judah, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, right? And we know this. Jehoshaphat is king. He's a godly king. He's a king over the two tribes that are called Judah at this point. The other 10 tribes really are, they've really gone far into idolatry. And he's a godly king. And then he receives word, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, "There's a vast army coming against you." And by the time he gets the word, it's too late really to mobilize forces. But beyond that, the army is so big. It's three nations, right? The army is so big that even if they got all of their forces, they would not be able in their strength and in their army to defeat the three armies that are coming against them. But the weapons of our warfare are not the weapons of this world. They are spiritual weapons. They're spiritual weapons. We always look at what happens on the day of battle, but very quickly, I want you to see this morning how praise is part of the warfare all the way through. Ready? Look with me. I love this. I love this story so much, and I wanted to include it all, but I won't. Okay? So Jehoshaphat is alarmed, and he says, I'm going to inquire of the Lord. He proclaims a fast. There are a lot of good things there. Everybody gathers, all of them, even the children. Because you know what? If an army comes against Judah and defeats them, guess what happens to children and to women? Children are slaughtered. Women are raped and taken against their will. And the men are killed also. Christian parents, I want to tell you something. I'm not trying to be an extremist. But when you have to know how you talk with your children, especially depending on their age. But when you're facing something that affects the family, or your whole family, I encourage you as a Christian parent to bring your children into prayer with you. There's a biblical standard for this. Bring your children into prayer for you. God will give you wisdom in how to say it and how to present it. But bring them into prayer, and you speak words of faith over them. Because let me tell you, your children need much more than getting into the best school they can get into. Your children need to be equipped to be mighty young men and women of God. And one of the ways they do is as they see you, a godly parent, or brothers or sisters as well, as they see you walking in righteousness, walking in faith and praying, and let them be part of it. So Jehoshaphat prays, and I want us to see this. He prays, and notice how he starts. He doesn't start with, oh God, you see this vast army that's coming against us. How does he start? Praise, right? He starts with worship, and he starts with praise. You alone are the God who's in heaven. You're the ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty. No one can stand against you. Do you know what happens when Jehoshaphat starts praying that and the people start praying that? They begin to get their eyes off of the vast army, and instead their eyes are on the mighty God who is Lord over all. That is one of the things that praise does, not against the enemy, but that's what praise does for you. It does that for you. Like I said, we don't want to manipulate, we don't want whatever, but when you and I begin to praise the Lord, however we start, and it gets deeper and deeper in our hearts, and then it really begins to come out, do you know what happens? You are changed. You have faith. You stop seeing, oh, but there's that problem. And you start seeing the God who solves every problem. You start seeing Jehovah Jireh who provides for every need. You start seeing the God who heals. You start seeing the God who is the God of peace. You start seeing God, Jehovah Nissi, who is your victory. Who is your victory? And you stop seeing all these things, the very reason for which you ran to God and say, oh God. Instead, you start seeing God. And what happens is the battle that is in here and the battle that is in here is won. Amen. The enemy is defeated here before it ever gets into anything out there. Because the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. If he can defeat you in here, if he can fill you with fear in here, he's happy to do that. Now, he wants everything else outside to be defeated also, but he wants to get you in here. And when you and I begin to praise, is that my phone?
It is.
I am so sorry. I was wondering whose phone it was.
Don't stop.
I won't stop. I had it on because I wanted to welcome people online at the beginning. My apologies. My bad. Let's get back to this. But God wins a victory here. and here. You win a victory here and here. And when the victory is won here and here, it is no problem with the victory that comes out here. Amen? Truly, this is truly true. Mm. Okay. So he prays. And then at the end of that is that wonderful, wonderful verse. Oh, Lord, I didn't even put it there. Oh, Lord, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. That's one of my favorite prayers, and I pray it often. And then somebody, it said, Jehaziel was his name. The Spirit of God comes upon Jehaziel, and he stands up, and he gives the word of God. And here's the word of God. You see, you need to hear God. You need to hear from God in impossible situations. You need to hear the rhema. You need to hear the personal word of God to you for your situation. And here it is. Here it is. Do not be afraid or discouraged. The battle is not yours, but God's. March out against them. And I love this. Verse 16. Look at this. Because God knows everything. The enemy is scheming, right? The enemy takes you by surprise sometimes, right? Me too. But guess what? God says, this is where they're going to be tomorrow. God knows everything. The enemy pulls nothing over on God. Amen. Now, and then he goes a little bit further. What does he say? Let's look at it. Read it. He says, you will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position. Stand firm. See the deliverance of God. Do you know what this reminds me of? 1 Peter chapter 5. Be alert, self-controlled, resist the devil. That's what this sounds like to me, but it's in the Old Testament, right? And what does it say? It says, do not be afraid or discouraged. Go to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Okay? Very quickly. Okay. What is the response? There's no victory yet. The army is still on the way. At this point, they are within less than a day's journey of Judah. A vast army. No way they can defeat them. What does Jehoshaphat, what do the people of Judah do? He bowed low with his face to the ground. All of the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. The answer has not yet come. Sorry, the victory has not yet come, but the Lord God has spoken. That's why you need to hear the Lord God speak. If you haven't yet heard the Lord God speak, you need to get together with him. You need to wait before him. You need to do what Jehoshaphat did. He resolved to seek the Lord. God, what do you say about this? You need to know what God says. Sometimes some of you come to me with advice. I give the best advice I can, and I pray for you. You need to hear from God. You need to hear from God. And they bow and they worship the Lord because they've heard from God, though the army is still on the way. And then look at what else happens. This, verse 18, is probably describing something that is more quiet, okay? We don't know exactly, but it's a more quiet, in reverence and in awe. But, verse 19, then the Levites stood to praise the Lord God of Israel, what? Shouting loudly. What were we doing this morning? Shouting, well, some of us were. I was shouting loudly this morning. They stood and prayed to praise the Lord God of Israel, shouting loudly. This praise, that word praise, is in the Hebrew, it's the same word that we get hallelujah. That's the word, okay? It's the word. And you know what it means? Loud praise. It's not like, well, I'm just a quiet person. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to encourage you all. Sometimes you think, oh, you're just pushing me because you're loud, and so you want me to be loud too. I'm not the quietest of people. That's true. Really? But Pastor Jim was louder than I was, right? Yeah, that's right. But sometimes I want to be, and I'm not going to get to the last one, but I want to speak to you just very frankly as we come to a close. There are times when I push you on a Sunday morning spiritually not because I want to make you do what I want you to do. I sometimes hate that when preachers do that sometimes. But if I'm pushing you, let's do this, let's do that. What I want to say to you is, it is because I have felt the Holy Spirit prompt me to prompt you to respond to the Lord. And so what I hope you feel and see is, well, I have to do it because Pastor Jen said so. Or I'm not going to do it because she said so. What I encourage you to do is respond to the Lord. Respond to the Lord. Many of the words about praise in the Old Testament are literally loud praise, not quiet praise. And so for those of us who say, well, I'm just a quiet person, it's okay, you can be a quiet person. My dad was a quiet person. But don't let your personality dictate how you're going to respond to the Lord only. Let the Word of God shape you and direct you in responding to the Lord. Amen? And the picture we see here is there is a loud expression of praise. That's why, as I've said to you before, for me on Sunday mornings when I'm in the car, because there in the car I can really be loud. Don't worry about it. We're almost finished. You're freezing, but you'll be okay. I pray out loud. I praise out loud, and sometimes I shout out loud. Why? Because it scares the devil? No. A whisper spoken in authority in the Lord is enough to defeat the devil. I praise loudly for me and because God says so. So I encourage you, and we're going to stop. Oh, we're going to stop here. We'll pick it up next week. Let's end with this verse, and then we stop. This is the next day. They're marching out. And after consulting the people, the king appointed some, look at this, some to sing for the Lord. How many of you love to sing? Yeah? That was part of it. Same. I do too. Although you will often see me here, I'm not singing very much. It's literally because I'm saving my voice to preach. And I hate it, but I'll sing softly because most of the time, because I'm trying to save it for preaching. Hear these two parts. Some were singing and some were praising. What is that word, praise? Loud praise. The hallelujah praise. Hallel, that's the word. The loud praise. That was part of it. And if loud praise is not yet part of your communication with God, you need to get somewhere where you can have loud praise with God. Really, get somewhere. That's one of the reasons I climbed the mountain. I scared some people again yesterday morning.
Praise the Lord.
I got quiet, but at least I wasn't rebuking the devil. I was praising the Lord. I was praising the Lord. Some of you are saying, what? Another story. When they went out in front of the armed forces, oh, look at that. The weapons are warfare. They're special weapons. The army didn't go first. Who went first, Eileen? The praisers, the singers, the worshipers. They went in front of the army. They kept singing. See, they went out in front. They kept singing. Give thanks to the Lord, for his faithful love endures forever. They probably marched maybe for a couple hours. We don't know because they had quite a long way to go. And what was their singing? What? Give thanks to the Lord, for his faithful love endures forever. By the way, and we close with this. Ready? How many of you are reluctant to raise your hands to the Lord? Come on. Okay, Crystal, this one's for you. You ready? This word, thanks. Do you know what it means? Literally. Hebrew is different from English and Chinese. In Hebrew, the emotion of the word, the action of the word is in the word itself. And the word thanks here means. So in the Old Testament, very often, give thanks to the Lord. It literally means this to the Lord. This to the Lord. Not because Pastor Jen said so, but God puts praise and calls forth praise from his people. And I can imagine some are singing, some are shouting loudly, and some have their hands up for as long as it takes. You didn't know that, did you? Did you know that? That's what it is. That's part of it. We close there. Oh, we're going to finish this up next week. But I encourage you, shall we close in this way? Let's close with praise and thanksgiving to the Lord this morning, okay? And we'll come back to 2 Chronicles 20 in just a minute. You've been sitting for a long, you wanted to sit, now you're ready to stand, right? Let's stand. And he has ordained praise from our mouths. Let the high praises of God be in their mouths. Mm-hmm. Give thanks to the Lord. It may take you a while to get loud. That's okay. You can get loud alone if you want to. But let's whatever you're facing, hallelujah. This is not just an exercise or an activity. We are responding to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise your name. Thank you, God. Your faithful love endures forever. We praise your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I praise your name. I praise your name, Lord. Loudly, I praise your name. I thank you, O God, that your answer is on the way. Hallelujah. I thank you, O God. I praise your name. I praise your name. I thank you, God, for you are going to lift depression and anxiety from your people. I thank you, God. I thank you, God, for you are going to bring new work and a new job to those who are seeking you. I thank you, God, for those that are struggling and their thoughts are going this way and that way. Oh, God, you are the God of peace and you will give peace. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you that for those who are struggling with physical things, oh, Lord, by your stripes, we were healed. We were healed. We were healed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank you, O Lord, that we will tread upon the lion, upon the serpent. Hallelujah. We thank you, O Lord, that we can do all things through the one who gives us strength. We thank you, O Lord. You are our peace, for you have broken down every wall. We thank you, O Lord, that you will bring our families into you. You will save our families. You will save our friends. Hallelujah. We thank you, O God. We thank you, O God, that greater is the one who's in us than the one that's in the world. We thank you, O God, that there are yet good things ahead. There are yet better things ahead. Hallelujah. The best things of God, they're still ahead of us. Hallelujah. We praise your name. We praise your name. We praise your name. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So here, for those of you that are extra quiet and extra quiet, on your own, get together with God. Get together with God and praise him. Praise him. Praise him. And let him lift you above these things. Amen? Amen? Amen. Praise him. When we come back next week, we're going to finish this part up. And then we're going to talk about the Word of God. Amen. Which is the other mighty, mighty weapon that he gives us. I've been praying for you. I will continue to pray for you. I was praying for you this morning. Loudly. As I was coming in to church. They were wondering on Tola Harbor. But that's okay. Our God is victorious. Oh, we give thanks to the Lord. We give thanks to the Lord. Amen? Thanks to the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you. Have a great week. Praise the Lord. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Amen. Go.